In October of 1949, with the founding of the People's Republic of China, Peking proclaimed its intention to liberate Tibet. A year later, it began an occupation that has continued until today. I am Susan McGinnis for Conversations. On this edition, the politics of religion in Tibet and in exile. My guest is Geshe Tsultim Gyaltsen, spiritual master for the Center for Tibetan Buddhist Studies in Los Angeles. Geshe, when Peking said it would liberate Tibet, what did it mean? Liberate you from what?
Sir, that's the only words. Liberate, maybe liberate from the good to bad. Liberate. I think that's what they did, because of the, otherwise they are not liberate.
Liberate from the good to the bad.
Bad, yes.
Yes.
That's what they did.
What do you think Peking, China, had in mind?
They actually is like Chairman Mao, he started and sending soldiers to Tibet. It's a beginning when they says sending soldiers and came to soldiers by border the Tibet from east side. So we local Tibetan people, they stopped the soldiers to come, fight. Kampa guerrillas, they fight it with the Chinese. So they couldn't come to right way, so directly couldn't come. So came to some part of the, then we saw Kampa guerrillas also losing the place, and also come to enter to Chamdo place called Chamdo. Chamdo is the also still East Tibet, central, almost central East Tibet. So came to Chinese soldiers there, and at that time, then still we are rejected to Chinese soldiers to come to in to Tibet. So then Chinese leaders, Mao Zedong, and also from the Beijing government, they asked to Tibetan government, to that time, so we talk between nations, talk. Then the Tibetan government agree about that. Means as talk, it means that times actually in Chamdo means east, central east Tibet, there is a representative of the Tibetan government, a high officer. So he's now still in Tibet, so his name is Ngapu. He was there, and then he took to the China, Beijing, and with some his government official with him work for to the East direct East district. So those are took to in China, Beijing, and with the Chinese government they talk between Tibetan nation and Chinese nation talk, and also they put a 17 pound agreement together. Just that's that times that time, that's those 17 pound agreement, those are mostly the what they wanted, Chinese wanted, because it's just lack of opposition, you know. They Tibetan government office, they don't have much choice. So he told I don't have the seal of the Tibetan government. He says never mind. There's Chinese government say never mind, we will make a Tibetan government seal for you. They made from this for the seal and the 17 point agreement. They did. So in there, they said, yes, more important things, we will not touch the Tibetan policy. You know, politics, we never touch it. And also, we will not be destroyed, means we will not be destroyed the government, and also we will not be destroyed the religions, culture, everything. Even Tibetan culture, we will not destroy those kind of agreements. But those agreements destroyed by Chinese side first, they did. That's why they took over my country and also destroyed the Tibetan government. 1959, they did.
In 1956, it may have been before that, but in my readings, in 1956, the guerrillas began concentrated uprisings against...
Yes, from the south Tibet, they start, means started before that, but also those are, they fight, yes, with Chinese soldiers, they did. So 1959, then they tremendous, powerful new weapons, you know, using to the Tibetan people and with the guerrillas, and also so they use. So very short time, then they took over my country.
You were just overwhelmed.
Yeah, I was there that time. It was in the college, University of Gandhi. And so 10th March, I think 10th March, they started shooting in through Lhasa. Lhasa is the capital of Tibet. So 10th March, they started shooting and everything. They day or night all the time. They shooting big guns, machine guns, bombs, or however. 3 days, almost everyone comes to the street and anywhere sees, they kill them. It's the thousands and thousands of Tibetan men, women, children, monks, everyone. So we lost about 14th March. Everything is plus Chinese took about it. So I that night, then I left from my college to India. So few weeks, during the few weeks, that time, 1959, few weeks, Tibetan people came to India for refuge. To Nepal, to India, to Nepal, to Sikkim, and Bhutan, small country. So altogether, almost more than 100,000 people escaped.
In 1959, just a mass exodus.
Yes, 1959.
This is Conversation. So we are talking today with Geshe Tsultim Geyeltsin. Geshe is a title in Western, in the Western world, we might think of it as the closest thing to a PhD, but this PhD in particular in Buddhist studies takes between 25 and 30 years study to achieve. Geshe Geyeltsin earned his title of Geshe after 23 years study at the Ganden Monastery in eastern Tibet. His is the highest Geshe degree. We're talking today about the politics of religion and exile, Tibet, on Conversations. The Dalai Lama also left in 1959.
Yes, 1959. His Holiness left 1959, I think about around 8th March.
Had he not left, had he stayed in Tibet, would he have been murdered?
Yeah, did, because of the... So we didn't start. So 1958, His Holiness Dalai Lama completely study, religion studies, complete finish, very highly, tremendous, just thousands monks, head of monks, scholars. Everyone was just tremendous, just very happy and very surprised, means because his knowledge is just so wonderful, sharp, deep, ask questions, maybe hundreds scholars they did when he gave an examination. He did, took the religious examination, just like other ordinary monks.
But I hear that he took these examinations before 20,000 monks
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So everybody just tremendous happy because his knowledge really tremendous. Everyone's a celebration about that monasteries, Tibetan government, everything, just tremendous. We are so happy. That time, after the Tibetan New Year, then Chinese making the, I think, very bad, make arrange. His Holiness, including His Holiness and all Tibetan government officials, take to the Chinese military place. And if everyone go there that day, then finish whole thing, I think. So we got message from this military place. Police, His Holiness, don't come. Don't come because this is no good.
Would be too dangerous.
Very, very dangerous. His Holiness, don't come. We got message. So that message, got to the Tibetan government side from Chinese military place, a secret message we got. So that's one message. They got a message to telling each other and the whole city of Lhasa, everyone. People run to His Holiness' staying place, Sama Palace. Shopkeepers didn't lock shop either. Everything's open. Just everybody went to the His Holiness' place, maybe 2 miles away from Lhasa city. Run, everybody. That's tremendous, really. Nobody think about to take things. No, everyone's focused to go to His Holiness' place around of his palace, and everyone says, please don't go to Chinese place. Mm-hmm. His Holiness really actually, he think better go, because then Chinese military is maybe opposition to the Tibetan government people. There's lots of killing the Tibetan people. That's why he want to go, His Holiness, I think. But then people say, please don't go. So Tibetan government then didn't go. His Holiness didn't go there. So then these things are then very, very bad, you know, bad things are very bad. So Chinese, they came to Tibet country 1950 started, 1950, what you said, started from the border. So from then, 1950 to 1959, make arrange many decorations for the war, really it is. So when started from Lhasa, they shooting many different places from the mountain. Lhasa is in the valley, and around of the Lhasa there's big mountains. One side is a Chinese military place, other side of the river, other side of the river. So from there, everything's from the mountain. So anywhere is just important places to focus. Big gun, what do you call my gun? Camel?
Cannon?
Cannon, yes, mm-hmm. Cannon. And also then, bombs, everything.
So the Chinese declared war on Tibet from inside Tibet.
Oh, yeah.
They had been coming in and
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, that's what made, there's 9 years they made range. Because Chinese soldiers, that time we know, so all the end of the town, you know, soldiers place just around, just like this. Hmm. So tremendous killing. So His Holiness life is like that time. So that is, I think, one thing really is very great opportunity for Tibetan people and for the country, because His Holiness, if you cannot go out, then we have difficult. So now, that's they telling, you know, this since them, so they killing the Tibetan people, since them entered to 79, 2 million Tibetans killed by tortured, by starvation, altogether more than 2 million Tibetans died.
Geshe, why do you think the rest of the world has not acknowledged what has happened in Tibet?
Now, lots of these old people, they don't know. They don't, because the long time before, people think they heard like Shangri-Las, you know, through the very special, nobody cannot go there, thinking like this kind of. We think also quite far away, any other world, except India, is close to India, China, we know Mongolia. So those kind of, we know other ways, like Europe and the United States is very far away, so much isolated from before. So difficult, lots of people don't know that about Tibetan country and also Tibetan people. But now, every year, more, everybody knows, you know, everybody does know. So everybody does know. Chinese says, the Tibetan country is part of China, so but the people, they know the Tibetan people, but the Tibetan country is not part of China. So they know because of different culture. Mm-hmm. Chinese and the Tibetan, as peoples, different culture, different language, different system, everything they know now. So I think it's more important, I think, is United Nations and also world people, means world leaders. People, so they know, but leaders, they know, but they need to open to tell the truth. Telling truth to the, you know, Chinese government. Example, like during the President Bush, the House representing and also Congress and senators, they did pass the Tibetan country is the occupied country by Chinese. Mm-hmm. They signed everything, but the President didn't sign. But that's kind of, you know.
In 1991, our Congress, for the first time, invited the Dalai Lama to speak to its body.
Yes,
this was a
yeah, that's did. Since then, more congressmen, senators, everyone's recognized, everyone does know from the House of Representatives, everyone does know. Mm-hmm. But now, some policy president is not yet to tell the actually truth. It's not telling, you know. Should be we hope to tell, you know, so the Tibetan country is not part of China, people are not Chinese, so should be to make separate. I think we great hope, because last year, 2 years ago, when Saddam occupy the what do you call this country?
Kuwait.
Yes, Kuwait. Yeah. Say. So United Nations help, you know, mm-hmm. help and also make free from the Saddam's policy. So we hoping like that, because it's the same situation. See, the Chinese says Tibet country is part of China. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Also, Saddam says the Kuwait is part of Iraq. If they say so, that's why we don't want to say then they cannot... make free Kuwait either, because Saddam says the Kuwait is the part of Iraq. That's same situation. Really, China. Sometimes people think leaders. Oh, this is Chinese leaders. They says government says the part of China. That's why inter policy we don't want to touch it. If they say so, if you trust like that, then Saddam says so, yes. Same situation, but one eye is open, one eye is closing. Look like this, not good, you know.
Once again, our guest is Geshe Tsultim Gaeltsen. He is the spiritual master of a school in Los Angeles, which he founded, the Thubten Darshi Ling.
Yes.
Which is a center for Tibetan Buddhist studies. It was founded in 1978. He is the spiritual master since that time. You're listening to Conversations on KUAC. I have heard that the work of the Tibetan exiles is thought of as a political weapon, that when you establish a school in Los Angeles to study Buddhism, that you are establishing more than a school in 1978, but also establishing more deeply your culture in the world. Do you see that that is true? Is this part of your work to return to Tibet, or is this separate?
This is, we deliberately, we don't make the, to like, culture. This culture means there are two different kinds of general Tibetan culture and also religious culture. So I'm the American people, they like the religious culture, so Buddhism. So I gave it teaching the actually serious Buddhism. So Buddhism is however say teachings, so and also system of teachings, Buddhist teachings, and otherwise particular like Tibetan culture, any other kind of ordinary cultures, I don't have much there. So, but any other in India, yes, we have tremendous settlement of Tibetans, many different places in India, Nepal, So this ordinary people's holding the culture, tradition, everything they learning through the school also. We have a very big school in India. Mm-hmm. Actually, these days, outside Tibetans and inside country Tibetans, very big difference. Outside Tibetans, much more education. We have opportunity, much more for the Tibetan traditionally, education, other education from the West countries. It's tremendous. We have really Tibetan people, great opportunity from the outside Tibet, means refugee people. Inside Tibet, actually, they need to have much better than outside, because when we left, everything, we cannot take anything. But inside Tibet is extremely poor. They're not rich, difficult to take care of by themselves, also very difficult to do it. And also, especially traditional Tibetan education is very poor. There are no much education. Young people, very hard. They don't have study. They don't take the... They don't have good quality schools, education. They don't give it. So more than that, they introduce to drink, you know, very cheaper to make alcohol, selling alcohol very cheaper, gambling to make gambling, those kind of very bad things are doing. You know, that's those kind of. So I think it's, we have in India and in Nepal and so many hundreds of monasteries also started already. He saw the Dalai Lama is a very great leader. So when we came in 1959, few months after he asked everyone to start it, monks and students, ordinary, everyone, how they do in Tibet to make started learning, study, or however they do, he asked to do it. He started already. So that's why we continually, without break, excellent, we got the opportunity, really. So ordinary then started also ordinary people, for the children also start schools through Indian government. And also we asking, helping, help from the other countries, you know, from other countries for the school. So everything is now, in India is much culture and everything is better than really actually inside Tibet now.
Is it frustrating to have the Tibetan culture, religious culture and also social culture, only living outside of Tibet?
No, inside there is culture, yes. But still a damage, you know, culture is damaged now. This dangers since last year, you know, last year. Last year's transform, population transform Chinese, you know, Chinese population transform from China to Tibet.
The population transfer, yes. Right.
Tremendous they did. Millions. So that's why this is a very, very big trouble. Because of the language, destroy the language, destroy the custom, you know. Mm-hmm. Because the Chinese selling the very cheaper tradition of the Chinese clothing. And everything try to make changing, you know, they're doing. They're changing the name of the big rivers, changing the street, you know, street, town, changing the name of the town, changing the name of this city or district. Everything they try to make really change. Because that is the very bad, because of the they try to make despair.
Can they?
Country cannot. I don't think cannot do. Cannot do that.
What gives you hope?
Because now old people they study. They study. They are not to them. No, they are intelligent. Old people. So many people has been already the Tibetan country. You know they opened their tourists. They knew already. They knew. So they worried about more than, I think, some of the more than we do. They think, when we went to the, Chinese opened the border 1981, actually visitors took inside. So some of the, since then, some of the, they went to 4 or 5 times in Tibet already. They says, when we went to first time, 2 times, excellent, because everything is natural. There are no Chinese didn't make a development yet. So now they says all Tibetan traditional houses tore down and ugly, very tall Chinese systems, tall buildings and you know, apartment or something like this. Why they tore down the Tibetan houses? Good condition, those are no bad condition. If it is bad condition, even tore down the system of Tibetans to make it just like before, if they do, that's should be okay. But they tore down, even buildings, good condition, tore down, and another Chinese-style buildings up.
So there's no more Tibetan building, there is just Chinese building.
Yeah, that's what they're drawing. So they think, now in the town, they're doing like this. Now, not yet in village, and also to villages, not yet. But they think if few years, if we're living like this, then they're changing. They're changing. They cannot see there's a natural beauty countryside. They cannot see, they think. Mm-hmm. So that's why changing. So that's why also one thing, since last year, they started many factories, many different places. 25, I think, or something, I'm not sure. Around there, factories started many different places. Why? Because they want to use the natural resources. You know, they say very beautiful Papua New Guinea. They really, we use the natural resources is like this: iron, silver, metal, you know, so, copper, brass, many different kind of we have in the mountain. We know that. Mm-hmm. Before Tibetan government, they know. Tibetan people, they know. Area people, they know. But they don't take it. Tibetan government, if you use very little, use not continually, then seal back to leave like this. Because if keep in the ground, good for the Tibetan country, even not only Tibetan country, everybody for world preserve, if you leave, this will be rich for everybody, we thinking. That's why we don't use it. We preserve many years, just left like this. But now, those are they want to use. So we make factories, use all those resources, natural resources, then get more money. Money for the benefit for the Tibetan people, they said never. Mm. Benefit for the Chinese government. No, not only Chinese people, if they use something, it's okay, something, but generally Chinese people, they cannot use this, only government use. So that's why I think, so one thing, that's why they start factory. To use the natural resource. That's why I say we are now used, because then it's make development and more we can make it. That's what I say. Then another reason to make this one. Then when they start the factories, they say Tibetan people cannot work in there because they're not qualified. They don't know how to work. That's why we need to bring from China people. What do you think? Tibetan people, they can work. I have a good example. 1959, when we came out from Tibet, just Brown came out. 61, I think, 61 started Switzerland government. They took 1,000 Tibetan refugees from India to Switzerland. They started, they work in the factory. They work in the factory. See, they don't need waiting a long time. Training a few weeks with a machine. Some of the 1 week is just maybe one day also, just when they see the what to show with the machine, very easy to work. Also, workers in Canada, 300 people they took, United States also, is now 1,000. Even those people, they almost right away is training. Even someone need a hard one need a few minutes, they gave training, then they can work. But they don't try. They don't try. Without try, a Tibetan young man, young lady is out of the work. They don't give a job. That's terrible. So it's one thing, because you cannot work, said, because you don't have the ideas, because they don't give training. They never try. So many now in the towns, like really problems, you know, to without a job, almost like a state people. So very difficult. So that's the kind of, then that's why Chinese people, many of the public transfer from China to Tibet. So that's what make also damage culture. You know, one Tibetan family, their Chinese five families together like that. They all children playing together, language and everything, they destroy, you know. One day, only using the Chinese language, something like that. Also, they don't give the education, Tibetan education in school, you know.
This is Conversations. We're talking today with Geshe Gyaltsen, who is visiting Fairbanks in the summer of 1993. Geshe Gyaltsen has been teaching Western students interested in practicing Buddhism since 1963. Our guest today on Conversations, we're talking about Tibet in 1993, what has happened since the end of the 40s, the end of the 50s in terms of Chinese occupation of that country. In 1989, the Dalai Lama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, a highly controversial award fought by China. China tried very hard to obstruct it, but the world deemed the Dalai Lama had done so much for peace that he should have this prize. The Dalai Lama is said to be the 14th incarnation of Chen Reize, a deity of infinite compassion and mercy. He is the religious and governmental leader in exile of the Tibetan people. I'm Susan McGinnis, and this is Conversations.
Yeah.
The basis of the Buddhist faith is nonviolence.
Yes.
The Dalai Lama says Tibetans in exile use nonviolence to fight the occupation of their country. How can you fight what is brute and brutal force with nonviolence?
That's all. Yes, interest. Many people think about that. So that's true. His Holiness, he wanted to make Tibet a country free from the China. It's a policy by nonviolence, yes, because the Buddha's teaching is the essence of the teaching is no harm, no damage others.
No harm, no damage.
No harming, no damaging others. So compassion and loving for the others. So that's why I think His Holiness just keep the method, of course, following the serious religions followed. So Tibetan people also under his guardian, and also everything is Tibetan people really trust, you know. Even from inside Tibet now under the China, almost 40 years, but still they 99 in Tibetans still the same kind of, you know, same kind of faith, devotion to His Holiness and also for the country.
Is the devotion to His Holiness because of him? Is it he's particularly this man?
He's the great teacher. He's the teacher because the Buddhism is 2,500 years before started in Buddhism in India. From India's from the Indian masters to lineage came through the from Buddha to Indian masters. From the Indian master from the 11th century, in the 11th century, the one great master. Before that, 7th century Tibetan King Sonsen Gampo, he started Tibetan, in Tibet Buddhism. He started Buddhism in Tibet, King Sonsen Gampo. Mm-hmm. He is the 33rd king of Tibet. So since then we have a transformation from Indian masters to the Tibetan masters. It's tremendous, very strongly, without break lineage, all the ways to now to His Holiness. So His Holiness is very important because this is the example. River comes from the from you know Buddha without breakers to come to the His Holiness or something like this.
Like a river.
Like bridge, you said, yes. Without broke. So His Holiness giving teachings, everything from Buddha, so to the Tibetan people. So not only for the leader of the country, we didn't think about it. Leader of the country, yes, but more important things, he's also holding the lineage of the Buddhas. So that's why, however he teaches to the people, people do the practice. So that's why follow the His Holiness guiding.
And that's because his wisdom is 2,000 years old. He's very old.
Yeah, his wisdom is more than 2,000 years. 2,500 years before this Buddha's teachings came. But his wisdom is almost like eons, we think.
Is it wisdom that you believe is passed on through reincarnation?
Yes.
So at 2 years old, when he was found by the search party,
yes,
Buddhists because would believe he had all the wisdom of all the eons.
Yeah, he has, yes. He has. He has that one. Just like this. This is the example. Yeah, seed of the, peach, you know, peach, very sweet.
Yes, a peach.
A good peach. Peach. Young peach has everything sweet. Everything is with the, which going to have the fruit. All that seed has it. You understand?
Has the potential for
it. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But seed itself is like Ramres. You couldn't find.
No.
But later, the seed is put in the ground, conditions together, they come out giving the fruit, you know. Then you really taste it. Do you understand?
Yes.
Just like that.
Yeah. It begins from the pit.
Oh, yeah. This all this taste of peaches with the seed already with them. That's why we get it with fruit. It's very delicious. just like that. Even some old boy. No, it is some old, with me. Some old boy, His Holiness, just very special. So with him, taste of sweet and everything is already with the wisdom
already.
Of that.
Yes.
So then with the temporary causes, we need look like to study with others, just like others, you know, listening, keeping the teachers, something like this. Those are conditions of the temporarily. You understand?
I do. I do. Geshe Gyaltsen, our guest today on Conversations. What led you to become a monk? What led you to become a monk?
Why?
Yes.
Because of the different reasons. See, if become a monk, more have time. More outside thinking is maybe more less, you know, less. Don't need to think about it. If you don't mind, you can do practice Buddhism with being like person. Yes, you can do. You keep your family, you can have wife or husband, you can do. But if you have those things, then you need more time spending for the family. You need to think more work for them. So that's why lots of take away time from the practice. monks, I think, if you're a monk, then don't think about much. Think about all it, you know, something to eat, drink, yes, time to time, that's what need think about. Otherwise, to have more time, you know, to do practice, learning, study, yes.
So a life I think of as
easier.
Intense discipline and difficulty is an easy life for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, easier. Discipline is, yes, discipline is not easy. Discipline is really quite hard because so many vows we have. Vows, those vows we need to keep serious. If we took it, keep it serious, try to make pure. So that's not easy, but it's in general, it's easy life from the outside. Mm-hmm. But if Buddha's teaching says, even you staying like ordinary beings life, you know, if you stay home, I mean in the town or living in the village with families, but if you can't do practice, your enlightenment is in your hand. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes, that's all I say. Because they can't do it. If they have strength or diligence for the to do the practice, then they can make enlightenment for themselves. I mean, for the others, enlightenment can be make during the life.
You laugh very easily. Is happiness and humor a part of your discipline, a part of study for you?
Yeah, I think I laugh quite easily. Yes,
you do.
It's general, I think, is difference. I think different tradition. The Tibetan people, not all, but mostly quite pretty good, you know, pretty good. It's just even they have so quite difficult. When we came from Tibet, you know, when Chinese destroyed our country, and we escaped from them on the way, you know. So 3 days on the snow mountain, I was. So sometimes we talk and can be laughed a little bit, I think. Snow, 3 days it was on the snow mountain by crossing the Himalaya, you know. It's very hard, you know. Mm-hmm. Day or night all the time on the mountain, just standing. Cannot go anywhere, just one by one, just go through. Because the stone man has to go first to make a road. Through that step, everyone's go through thousands of the refugees we came through this way.
You were 32 then.
Yeah, that time, yes.
Yeah. And you went over the high mountains in March, very cold.
Oh, yeah, very cold, snowing also.
Yeah.
But during the night, just sit down there on the mountains. Sometimes very thick snow comes, it's quite warm, you know, snow's not melt, it's too cold, so it's heavy, top of the body, it's quite warm.
Geshe Gyaltsen with us on Conversations. You teach Buddhism in Los Angeles, one of the most American cities known in our country. It is noisy, it is busy, it is a troubled city, it's bright lights and fast food. And how does Buddhism sit in that city?
Mm-hmm. I like it very much. So people are surprised, you know. And really, I think they think Los Angeles, what you say, that's kind of, yes, they think there's so lots of the violence and also smoke and everything is better. I like it. I came 1976 to Los Angeles. Since then, I didn't move any other place. I like there. So I think really it's not bother, really. If you more important from individual person. If you're not busy, or if you don't make by yourself balance, and also if you don't do with the others bad things, then nothing happened, I think. Nothing happened. If you follow the with somebody else, then combination, if you do, then there is trouble, I think. But myself, I think everything's so okay. I think maybe more interesting because big city, there are many different kinds of people. So different kinds of people. So from the peoples, many interesting people, you know, different nationalities. They like a war peace. They like inner peace. They don't want to damage others. Those kind of very interesting. So also they like so religion study. So that's kind of very interesting people also mm-hmm. came out. Yes.
What is it do you think attracts Americans to Buddhism? Buddhism is the most Eastern of religions. America
yes.
is the most Western of countries.
Yes. I don't know. We don't do the... Sometimes we do, where we are location. And general, when special teachers comes, this advertising, we do a little bit. Otherwise, we don't pull the others. You must come this way. You must do this. We never say that. Mm-hmm. We never say that. We don't want to say that. We think because it's equal faith or devotion for all religions, we recognize, you know. His Holiness mentioned, you know, he says the all religions are very necessary
because
for the people. Yes, for the people, because it's just like a big restaurant. In the big restaurant, there are many dishes, you know, so Mexican dishes, American dishes, like Thai. Many kind of different kind of dishes. So when people go in that restaurant, then what they like, someone like this or someone like doesn't like that one. You know, someone like is to be like a vegetarian, someone doesn't like vegetarian, they want to meat, something like this kind of. So different people, different consciousness. So that's why all religions are very necessary for the people. So equal respect. So we don't say you must come this way, no. So, but Americans, how they find out, I think they pick up by themselves, you know. They come, sometimes come visiting, you know. Mm-hmm. They like visiting, what they saying, what they say. Then if they like it, they come back again and again, you know. Then become a really serious thing. Become a student. Uh-huh. So my students are more like that. So they coming and they visiting, and they listen to the teachings, and then if they like, they coming back. So I have a number of students, yes.
Mm-hmm. A professor of Buddhist studies at Columbia University, his name is Professor Robert Thurman, mm-hmm. said that...
I know Robert, yes.
Do you?
Yes.
This is what I heard him say. That the human being, from a Buddhist point of view, is the most marvelous machine in the universe. Do you know what he means by that? What is that marvelous machine that is the human being?
Uh-huh. Marvelous machine means, I think, I don't know. But we think, like human beings' life is very precious. I don't know what he's think. Mm-hmm. But general... we think human beings' life is very precious. Because precious, why? Because of through this life, we can do many great action, good action for in the future to be success. That's what we can do.
No, say that again.
Through this life, yes. during this life.
While we are here.
Yeah, we're here. Uh-huh. During this life, we can make in the future life to be success. That's what we can do now. Much better than your animal, you maybe cats and dogs. People has cats and dogs. They don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. They cannot learn. If we do, we have great chance because we can make it better in the future life. That means something we need to catch the religions, you know.
So, do you want to stop for some water? Yeah. So, it is important how we are here and now because of how that will affect not this life, but the future life?
Yeah. We can make, because we think like this, I will tell you. Mm-hmm. Some people, we think before life, it was good or bad, you can see through this life. Means if you have happiness, joy, without sick, good life, you made before life, that's what. You made it. During this life, always sick, even rich persons, but always sick in the many operations, drawing operations, always spending life in the hospital. Somewhere we can see. Those are, they made it before life, that's kind of suffering pain, having pain, suffering, that's a difficult life. They made it before life.
So this is.
So now we are here. If we want in the spiritual life to be success, happy, joy, everything, you know, rich, however we want it, we need to make now.
So this is a great encouragement.
Yeah,
to
this is a great chance.
Well.
Yeah,
yes.
Get a chance here. Uh-huh. Yes. So that's why I think very precious. This life is very precious for the accomplishment of in the future to be success.
How does meditation, how does discipline create the good life in the future?
Oh, there are many different meditations, but not only the set close eyes, set nose, close legs. That's not only that's ways. I mean, like if we want in the future life to be good, success, happy, joy, everything is good, we will not kill the others. Bigger human beings, small, even insects, mosquitoes, even will not kill. Try to make stop the killing others. Try to make stop the stealing from the others. Try to make stop the like sexual misconduct. That's from there. That's try to make stop the telling lie, gossiping, jealous, or angry. Try to make all those negative mind, negative actions. Try to make stop. If we do like this, then we'll be in the future to have the good life.
Does Buddhism say all that is easy or all that is difficult?
Not too easy.
Yeah.
Not too easy. But try to make it easy by yourself, you know, mm-hmm. even if it is very difficult.
This is why it is so important in Buddhism to give kindness, give compassion to
yes.
other people.
Yeah, yes. Yes, God, compassion is very important, yes. Compassion, we think, compassion with everybody, including enemy.
Including the Chinese
oh,
government.
Of course.
Yes.
We really, is person who knows serious as with Dharma, with his teachings, they're not angry with Chinese. Really, we are not angry Chinese. We are not criticized Chinese about. We are talking about those, whatever beginning I told you, so whatever has been, that's what we need to talk about. Otherwise, we don't want to criticize. And also, we're not angry with Chinese. His Holiness, no. His Holiness think, say, like an enemy is the great teacher for the patience, you know, great teacher.
He said that about Mao Zedong, that Mao Zedong was his greatest teacher.
Yeah, great teacher, he said. That's true. Oh, His Holiness mentioned this, but if we have something, enemies, that is the great teacher for us. Say, everyone, everything. Really, we don't want to hurt Chinese, you know? We don't want to hurt Chinese. We don't want to damage Chinese, but we want to ask a country back, to get the country back. From mm-hmm. China to Tibetan people's hand. Because the Tibetan country is real, belong to Tibetan people, no Chinese government, never. Because the Tibetan country started 2,120 years ago, today, this year.
Mm-hmm.
2,100 20 years ago.
This year?
Oh, this year.
Yeah.
But we never before under the Chinese or no one in the other countries.
Is this time, which is the very worst of times, in its way the best of times because of what it challenges the human spirit to accomplish? Or is that just, is that too strange to think of?
This year, I think there's many people think that's good for us. I think if like that comes, you know? Like Indian peoples. I went to Mexico City before I came here. So I was Mexico City. So from Mexico City, I went to Cancun. There is a Maya's temple and also a Los Maya's. So there it says 26th of July, the cycle started something changing, you know? 26th of July. Just changing circles, you know. They did ceremony, you know. They think of changing, you know. Maybe good change, it's good.
What is it about ritual and ceremony that can create change?
They have something. Mayas, do you remember? Do you know the Mayas?
The Mayan people?
Mayan people, yes.
Yes.
So they have ancient tradition also.
Yes.
And also they have a calendar by themselves also. So they say this year is the circle, from the circle, something to changing, you know. So that's why they need it. So prayers, so they ask me to come with them. So I did pray. The Tulum, place called Tulum by this ocean, there's mm-hmm. Very old temple, finished, but wall of the temple still there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that, once was happy because there is be there see like ancient traditions. Many of the I never heard before. So something heard. So once was remember of my country.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese destroyed more than 6,000 temples. 6,000 temples and monasteries destroyed. So dead walls stand up just like that in my country. So sad, you know, think about it. Actually, like Gandhi Monastery, I was studying, 23 years I was studying in Gandhi University, that is near Lhasa. Totally destroyed. Even wall, dead walls, they don't leave it. How do you think?
Yeah.
Just like this. More than 6,000 temples and monasteries, they destroyed it. Tremendous. Just not only the Tibetan culture, it means 100 years, you know, which collected a whole government's treasure and and also those and families, which though whatever they have, everything is took in China. Now maybe China is, I think, third what economically is richest country,
huh? In the world,
yeah. Yeah, from the world. Because of this moment, I think they have because they took from us, you know. Now natural resources, they everything using. So that's why I think they're having like this. But if they hold like this, Tibet country, they will not be longer like this, I don't think. Because those are not theirs.
Geshe, I want to thank you for an
thank
hour.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Conversations. We have spent an hour with Geshe Tsultim Gyaltsen. As I've said, he is the resident spiritual master for the school, the Center for Tibetan Buddhist Studies, which he founded in 1978 in Los Angeles. We've been talking today about Tibet and Buddhism in exile. I'm Susan McGinnis. Thank you for joining me. I hope you join me again next week. Geshe, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. That was really good.
Oh,
covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, yes, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.